You're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and this is Art and Soul. This is Lisa Berry, and this week, Art and Soul is about the art of well-being. It seems like life just keeps getting more stressful and challenging, so we thought it would be a good time to talk to Dr. Steve Taubman, a best-selling author and speaker who has dedicated his life to showing people how to thrive through their challenges. So welcome.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm good. Do you think that life is getting more challenging and more complex these days?
I think it's true. You know, that we definitely have a turbulent political climate, and there's more violence in the world, it seems. We've got our share of challenges and difficulties. But as I tell everybody, at any one point in history, there's an equal amount of good to bad.
I know we have a lot to share with listeners to help us live emotionally balanced, calm, and happy lives. But let's talk first about what made me reach out to you. I saw that you're speaking and writing about incorporating humor into mindfulness and the benefits of humor for all our well-being.
As a mindfulness expert, I teach people how to cultivate a part of themselves other than their thoughts, what we call the witness, the part of themselves that watches them in action. That, in other words, is a place from which you can see your mind at work, but not buy into the drama that your mind is creating. We call it being backstage, right? Getting backstage to your own life. So you're kind of watching it while you're acting on the stage at the same time. So you're not taking yourself as seriously. And this applies for stress and it applies for performance. And one of the key elements is a sense of humor. So humor is life. Humor is love. Humor is consciousness. It's a very foundational thing. It's not just having a good chuckle now and then.
You have to be pretty self-aware, though, to go through all that, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, self-awareness is kind of the key, because if you're not self-aware, then you're taking yourself too seriously. In our lives, there is a moment when the thing that seemed real, the thing that seemed serious, the thing that seemed intractable, suddenly becomes just something to observe, and then we laugh. We see humor in it. We all have a conscious and a subconscious mind, right? We all have the part that we're thinking with right now, and then there's lots of background thoughts going on that you're not necessarily aware of or paying attention to, but they're having a profound effect on your mood, on your level of stress, on how well you handle different situations, and how you react to situations, and what you believe to be true. That's all in your subconscious mind. So humor is perspective. Humor allows us to rise up out of the automatic way we are, so that we could start discovering some of the things that are going on in our own subconscious.
It seems like getting control of your subconscious is almost the key to everything.
Well, it's the driving force. You know, Chip and Dan Heath wrote a book where they talk about the elephant, the rider, and the path. And they say that for every one of us, you know, when you're initiating change in your life, there's an elephant, a rider, and a path. So the elephant represents the subconscious mind. It's very big. It lumbers along. It wants what it wants when it wants it. And it's very difficult to muscle it off in a different direction because it's been going the same way forever. Then the rider is your conscious mind. That's the part of you that is trying to drive or direct the elephant. Like, I want to stop smoking. I want to lose weight, or I want to eat better, or I want to stop taking things so seriously. That's the rider trying to get the elephant to do something different. And a skillful rider can move a big elephant. But you have to always realize that your elephant's much bigger than your rider. Your subconscious is always much bigger than your conscious mind. And that's why change is so hard. That's why you could know consciously that, boy, I'd be way better off if I had to take things so seriously. But you can't seem to stop yourself because it's your subconscious mind. So that's where our real challenge is, and that's where our real opportunity is.
A lot of interesting information, Dr. Steve Taubman, a speaker and an author. And we want to talk about your book as well. You've written a book called Buddha in the Trenches. It's about how to perform well under stress. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Buddha in the Trenches. First of all, it's not a religious book. Some people get concerned because of the name Buddha, but it's not Buddha. First of all, Buddha is not a god, and Buddhism is not really a religion, rather a philosophy. And the Buddha was a guy who essentially figured out how to wake up, how to not be hypnotized in life, and how to see things clearly, and therefore to act masterfully and calmly in life. And that's what we all want. We all want to be masterful and calm and centered and unruffled, unshackled and unshaken by the things that happen. So Buddha in the Trenches basically means, how can you be Buddha-like? How can you be centered and masterful on the battlefields of life? So, you know, how do we handle family gatherings where our parents push our buttons? Or how do we handle the battlefield, literally, if we're Navy SEALs? Or how do we handle, crisis situations at work? know, there's a technology for this, and humor plays a big part, right? Humor, as I said, humor is perspective. You ever have that thing, Lisa, where, you know, you're in the middle of a crisis and somebody says, someday we'll look back at this and laugh. We think we need time to create distance, but we don't. So we have to develop certain qualities, and that's what Buddha in the Trenches is designed to do, is to teach you qualities that shift you out of the worried, preoccupied, neurotic, stressed out, aggravated, and, you know, angry state of mind that a lot of us live our lives in. And it really means rising up out of the morass, out of the muck of your own thinking. And I do a lot of that with humor. Actually, I thought of five things I could share with you and your listeners about humor, some ways of quickly developing a better sense of humor.
Please do.
Well, the first one is start out by appreciating humor rather than trying to be funny. Sometimes, you know, we think, I have a sense of humor, I've got to think of jokes, I've got to be a funny person. And then when we're not, which a lot of us aren't, we don't really get the value of humor. Just being somebody who can watch situations and find the humor in them, find the funny. And when somebody says something funny, go to the trouble of actually expressing it. Like, let your face know. Let them know that you thought it was funny. Another one is look at every gap as something to fill with humor. Every gap. See, everybody in every part of your life, there are gaps between where you are and where you want to be. Now, maybe you're making $20,000, but you need to be making $30,000. Maybe you're in a mediocre relationship, but you want to be in a better relationship. You know, whatever that gap is, fill it with humor rather than filling it with misery and aggravation and anguish. Look at where you are, where you want to be, and find ways of creating a humorous perspective inside of that gap. Third one is to ask other people what they find funny. This is a challenge that was actually issued by a guest of mine on my radio show not long ago on Executive Zen. We had Karen Buxman, who is a world leader in the area of applied humor. And I asked her to issue a challenge to my guests. And she said, this week, go up to at least one person a day and ask them something funny that happened to them today or recently. So you start to cultivate a body of humorous stories. And you also, of course, people enjoy telling their funny stories. Fourth one is laugh even if nothing's funny. You know, we now know from research that laughter has its own healing qualities. That if you get into a good belly laugh, and by the way, if you start laughing, chuckling, eventually it'll turn into a real laugh.
Well, there's even laugh yoga, isn't there?
Laughter yoga,
yes.
Yeah. Laughter yoga is exactly that. You know, you just get a bunch of people in a room and you start laughing, and of course it turns into real laughter. And people experience profound transformations. Because think about it, how many things in your life produce silence, produce the experience of inner quiet? Very few. But laughter is one of them. If you get a good laugh going, and then after you finish laughing, you go, and then like your ears start to ring a little bit, you get that kind of altered state. Laughter will do that. That's a fourth one. And the last one is one that I use a lot as a mindfulness coach, and that is name your characters and talk about them. What do I mean by that? Well, you know, I've got my inner critic. Hmm. I've got my inner teacher. I've got my my puzzle solver. I've got all these parts of my personality that, you know, we could call my neurotic parts. Right? But they're all funny. They're all like... Well, they're not funny if you don't talk about them.
Right.
But when you start talking about them, you say, oh, my inner critic just said blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden, you again, remember we said perspective. Someday we'll look back at this and laugh. Now you're outside of it. You've named it. And the more you practice, the more you, you know, identify these thoughts and feelings inside of you as something other than who you are, the more perspective you have, and the more laughter you have.
Well, Dr. Steve Taubman, you've certainly given us a lot to think about. Lighten up, letting go. We'll put links to your book and all your information on our webpage, WEMU.org. And thank you so much for joining us on Art and Soul.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.